Thank you very much for joining us on From the Horse's Mouth. My name is Patrick Kennelly, and I've got a trio of wonderful men to hopefully give us lots of winners. And to be fair, the lads have been in very good form over the last few weeks. And the three men today are Ruby Walsh, Matthew Chapman, and later, Paddy Pair is going to join us after he's had his brunch down the local cafe. Ruby Walsh, how are you? And what has been, Ruby, a funny old week in the world of racing, off the track, hasn't it?
I wouldn't call it funny, PK.
You know,
I didn't read too much.
Right.
I wanted to laugh about. But yeah, it has been an interesting week.
Yeah, for sure. Matt Chapman, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, looking forward to the weekend action. Tingle Creek is always one of those races, I think, that whets the appetite, gets you going. Because for me, two-mile chasers are the most exciting beasts in the world of national hunt racing. And to see them hurtling over the railway fences, I think is just about as good a sight as you get in the world of jumps racing.
Okay. And before we get cracking into Saturday, I'm going to catch you, Ruby, on the hop. Ruby, who wins Tingle Creek? Ideal conditions for both horses, Wellchief or Coto Star?
Is that a serious question, yeah?
No, sorry, Azurtiup or Coto Star. Sorry. I don't know why I said Wellchief. Azurtiup or Coto Star?
Coto Star.
Quarter star. Okay, what a horse he was. Okay, let's crack into Super Saturday of racing. I always call it Super Saturday.
Well, hold on, Patrick, can we make that more difficult?
Okay, go for it.
Because you've chosen two British horses, and therefore it doesn't really matter to Ruby either way. But if we change it around a bit, he can anger a whole nation that he is part of. So here we go. This is a much better matchup. Moscow Flyer or Quarto Star?
I still say Coto Star, and I think that would have been the race, Moscow Sprinter, Coto Star, and if you offered me a ride in it, I'd still be riding Coto Star. They're all hypotheticals, and yeah, they never met, but Coto Star was the greatest chaser I rode. 2 miles, 2.5 miles, 3 miles, 3.25 miles. I'd say if you're having a 4 mile race, he'd still have been the greatest chaser I ever rode, so bring on whatever you like.
Yeah, that was why I asked between the two, because Ruby had ridden both, and obviously you never rode Moscow Flyer. You never rode Moscow Flyer, so...
No, follow them around enough, PK.
Yeah. All right, let's get cracking. It's a brilliant Saturday of racing, and let's start at Sandown, folks. We're going to kick off with the 150, which is what could be the start of a brilliant day for Dan Skelton and, of course, Harry, because they've got Third Time Lucky, who's the 6-4 favourite for this race. Earlier on the week, I was looking at the anti-post prices, and he was a shade of odds on, so a lot of horses have stood their ground, it seems. 4-1 Edward Stone, 11-2 Manella Drama, 6-1 Warlord, 7-1 Il Ridotto for Paul Nichols and Harry Compton, and double figure odds the remainder. I'll come to Ruby second. Matt, your thoughts on the Henry the Seventh, eighth?
Well, still had loads of wives. Personally, we haven't seen all the 2 mile chasers so far this season on either sides of the RSC, but of the ones we have seen, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that Third Time Lucky has been the most exciting 2 mile chasing novice we have seen so far. He's absolutely electric at the fences, and we shouldn't forget that he was a pretty decent bumbles, fourth in the champion bumper. He was a pretty decent hurdler. He wasn't beaten far in the county hurdle and the Betfair hurdle, but now he's clearly found his metier over fences. I really want him to win because he's exactly the type of horse we want in the Tingle Creek in 12 months' time. He is the horse I cannot wait to see over the railway fences. I think Skelton will send him. One or two people said he hit the front too soon last time or idled or whatever. But I think they have no doubt that this horse's jumping is an asset. And when you have a horse who has jumping as their asset over the railway fences, you don't want to be reining them back behind some other idiot who's making mistakes up front. You just pound on and hope that you hit everyone on the right stride and you make a length at every fence. So, look, nutshell, very boring selection, very exciting horse.
Not if it wins. Ruby Walsh, Third Time Lucky?
Yeah, he's for me as well. And I think the middle part of Third Time Lucky is his strongest part in the race. I think when he faced down the back in Cheltenham the last day, it's the pace he can sustain through the middle third. And that's really going to suit him in Sandown. People keep honing in and zoning in on the railway fences, but there's seven fences in a line in Sandown. I'm assuming the water jump is back in for tomorrow, but you jump three to come up quite quickly early in the back straight before you have a break to the water jump, and then you have the railways. But there's seven fences down there. Jumping is key. And I think Harry Skelton will let Third Time Lucky roll at those seven fences, and it'll be Catch Me If You Can.
Who was Henry the Seventh? It probably did. Probably didn't have as many wives or issues. Okay, we'll move on to the big one. It's Santa comes thick and fast, the Grade One racing, doesn't it? The 225 is the Tingle Creek. At the time of recording, we've got Shaka Poursois 11-10 favorite, Nube Negra for the Skeletons 9-4, 9-2 for Grenadine, Hitman 11-1, and 12-1 Captain Guinness for Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore. So we start with you, Ruby, this time, Shaka Poursois. Have they seen the best of him in Britain?
No, I wouldn't think so. I think they've only saw him once, have they?
That one time, wasn't it? Well, he was nearly there 2 years ago, wasn't he? And then it was the morning of. But
he didn't know. He's only run the once in the UK. I think Sandown will suit him. He's in really good form. He worked well earlier in the week. He's a really good jumper. I know Captain Guinness is a front runner, but Captain Guinness could never go quick enough to lead Enner Grameen. And I don't think he'd be able to go fast enough to lead Shaka Poursois either. Patrick takes the ride on him. It's a race that'll set up for a horse like Nube Negra, but I think Shacken's in really good form, and I think Sandown will suit him.
Matt Chapman, they say that Shaka Poursois isn't suited by Cheltenham. Will Sandown be easier for him, or it's type of track that could suit him?
Yeah, but the they you're talking about, for me, are absolutely thick idiots. that's what I think of the they. I don't think the hill is his problem at all, and we've gone through this before. He's gone up hills in Ireland, maybe not identical in every single symmetry to the Cheltenham Hill, but he's galloped up a hill before and it hasn't been any problem for him. I just don't think, if for whatever reason, he was at his best at Cheltenham. And while everyone likes and loves to put the kettle on, we all know in the great sort of stratosphere of champion chasers, he's way, way down the list, and not being able to put the kettle on, he's like a special tiara, you know. He wins a champion chase because someone else hasn't turned up, not because he should be a champion chaser. I don't think we saw the real Shaka Poursois. I've always thought this horse is absolutely magical. I thought Paul Townend gave an absolutely brilliant ride when he won at Punchestown after Cheltenham and showed us what he's made of. He's got a rating of 176. Let's put that into a bit of perspective. It's a very good rating. But the aforementioned on the pod, Quarto Star, I think had a rating of 193 once, which just shows you what you can get to, although they always tinker with the system these days, so you're not comparing exactly like with like. But he's a very, very good horse. Nube Negra is currently rated 168, so on current ratings, he's got £8 to find. And I don't really see, unless Chacon disappoints, and of course, he has disappointed in one of his last two starts. I personally think he's a miles better horse than Nube Negra. So when I'm coming to tipping, I have absolutely no doubt about ticking Shaka Poursois. And I actually think that, you know, some people will look at Patrick Mullins and think amateur, but we all know that while he might not be Ruby Walsh, as far as Nouse Up Here is concerned, he is as clever as any rider out there, and he doesn't fall off many times. So, Shaka Poursois for me, good thing.
You put the markers on him there, man.
And he probably would call Shaka or put the kettle on a she as well. In fairness,
Kind of nitpicking they have on racing TV, where everything has to be exactly right, or the emails come flooding in. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Put the kettle on is a she, and she's still not a very good champion chaser.
There's a few horses that just fall into that track. Kitty's Light is another one, isn't it? That's a he. And you're like, how is Kitty's Light a he? But anyway, yeah.
There's always a Ruby Walsh to correct you. That's the annoying thing. There's always a Ruby. And what you pray as a fellow presenter is to have that one moment where Ruby slips up and you're
doesn't happen.
You're straight in.
It doesn't half happen. But no, it is about one of the only pet hates I have. And I curse myself when I get it wrong as well.
Well, Paddy is busy swatting up on the Irish action. Now, he has a tactic. He just calls them it. and I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. No, it's a he or she, Paddy. We'll get to you later.
I think it is more shameful than getting the sex wrong, personally.
Right, let's move on to the London National. It's at 3 o'clock. Strictly a Dancer, friend of the pod, 3-1 favourite for this. Dacia Abba is 9-2, 5-1. Larry, Salty Boy. Now, that's the big market mover. 11-2 from 11-1 for Salty Boy. Let's go from one Salty Boy to another. Matt Chapman. You thought I was going to say Ruby, didn't you?
HR.
It's closed this week. It's been an onslaught.
to be honest with you, I have a hotline to HR for almost everyone I work for. I tipped up Salty Boy on my blog. So I'm probably responsible for the huge move. But look, it just looked very obvious for me. £2 higher when third in the Ida. That's really good form. And since that third in the Ida, he's run pretty well and won a race. So to only be £2 higher than that third, I thought looked very, very tempting. The racing weight, which of course is different to the handicap mark, but the racing weight of 10 stone 7 is absolutely perfect. And Bastion takes off £3, brings it down to 10-4. So all in all, I thought there was a big chance here. And David Bridgewater's a trainer. Obviously, he was a fine jockey. He won the Stairs Hurdle, and funnily enough, I think he won the Cathcart on Challenger de Luck, which was something AP McCoy struggled to ever do. He's a trainer who's bubbled under the surface. He's had one or two good ones, and then he's gone quiet. And hopefully, Salty Boy could be another big TV winner for Bridgie.
One Salty Boy to another?
Don't do that. Don't.
I'm actually here sitting on Google trying to find another way of saying that I agree with Matt Chapman.
Oh, no. Three in a row.
I concur with Matt Chapman. I thought that a £5 penalty for the win at Fontwell wasn't overly harsh. I thought Salty Boy won with plenty up his sleeve. I thought Mitchell Bastion gave Salty Boy a really good ride. He looks like a horse that doesn't want to be in front too long. And even watching the replay earlier, he stayed directly behind Almazar Guard over 3 out and 2 out before delivering his challenge. I thought Salty Boy definitely had a bit up its sleeve. And I'm with Matt Chapman here.
You know what, Patrick? I'm thinking, you know that trainers have two at the moment, like Paul and Oliver Cole and all this. Maybe next week we could come on as Matt Walsh.
Yeah, if so, you're going to get married to Ruby and take
silence.
His name.
The silence is deafening.
Or what about Ruby Chapman? Sounds quite lush.
We have one more race. One more race from Saturday. It's a 3:35. It's a handicap hurdle. Watch out for 4 places in this race instead of the usual 3, subject to all the horses turning up. 7-2 favourite Hudson de Grugy for Gary Moore and his son Jamie. Benson for Dr. Richard Newland is 4-1. 5-1 for Metier. Metier, he was a right potential horse, wasn't he? But disappointed last time out for Harry Fry, Santos and Davies. Sam Areve, then for Paul Nichols is 6-1. And it's 10-1 and bigger the rest. Ruby, go first, please.
Yeah, look, Metier obviously disappointed in the Supreme Novices last year behind Appreciated. But I still think 144 is workable for Metier. I'm in his camp. Harry Fry had a winner in the week during the week. You'd love to see him banging in more winners maybe than he is. But I thought Metier could still be the class horse in here. Thought Elegant Escape was an interesting runner in a 2 mile hurdle race. But Metier would be the one for me.
Matt Shirley can't agree 4 in a row.
No, we're going to be disagreeing here. I've actually napped something here.
Oh,
definitely a double-digit price, if not even bigger than that. So, Gary Moore has the favourite, but I have a feeling he might just have it off on another runner in the race. So, Natural History has been basically a flop over hurdles, and he was pulled up as favourite last time. However, he's getting much better ground than he's used to. And I say that because at the time of recording, it is meant to rain at Sandown on Friday night into Saturday, but not crazy stuff. But at the moment, he's getting much better ground than he's been on. He has definitely shown ability over hurdles. They, as in the Moors, have definitely thought he's got bundles of ability because he's been a mover for 1 or 2 big hurdle races in his time. Now, he comes in here off 10 stone. The Houlihan takes off a bit more weight, so he's got less than 10 stone on his back with the extra £5. And I just thought, as a 97-rated flat performer getting in here in the low 120s, if, and it is a big if, don't get me wrong, that's why we're getting big odds, but if this horse is ever going to show anything, this is the race to show it in off no weight, on decent ground, and with a stable in form. So Natural History is my each-way nap for Saturday.
12-1 at the time of recording. Very interesting shout there from Matt Chapman. Let's skip to Aintree, where things get underway very early on Saturday morning. 11:15 is the first race, lads. We're going to skip ahead to the 1:30, which is the first that's live on ITV4. And this race is a money back race on the website, on pettypower.com. It's money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third, or fourth. Very, very generous. 15-8 favorite is White Pepper for Gavin Cromwell. Sends this juvenile over, having won her last race. 11-2 Lady Pacifico, a winner of its only start over. 6-1 Adosh C Session, 6-1 17-2 6 feet apart. That one for Joseph O'Brien in the Peter Saville Silks. And it is 9-1 a big of the rest. All right, Matt, you can go first.
Okay. I'm going to be slightly contrary here. I'm going to tip White Pepper, but honestly, I couldn't really advise anyone to back her at 15-8 because I just think you're dealing with so many unknown quantities here that to ask someone to take 15-8 when there are, you know, when Shaq and Poursoir is probably evens 11-10, it's kind of stupid. But look, she's probably going to get dizzy in her racing. She's been round Galway. Now she's going round Aintree, which effectively is like the reverse of Galway without the hills. And she looks pretty good. She was a fair flat performer, rated in the 80s. She seemed to jump pretty well. She took a bit of time to get going when winning at Galway, but she jumped well in the end. And I thought she's the most likely winner, but I don't know what Ruby thinks, but if I couldn't find a more likely 15-8 shot in a day's racing than this, I'd be a bit disappointed with myself. I couldn't back her at 15-8, but I'm going to tip her.
What price could you back her at then, Mash?
I mean, for me, this is like a 3-1 the field race. I mean, it's just all of these horses could improve dramatically on what they've done so far.
Yep.
White Pepper might be one of them, but I wouldn't want to take 15-8.
That's fair enough. Ruby, your thoughts on the juvenile?
Yeah, I thought White Pepper would win as well, but for a more technical reason. She obviously won on slow ground at Galway and stayed really well. Aintree this time of year, given it's soft, good to soft in places, there is rain forecast. This could get really testing, and I have watched fillies in the past win this race by a long way. Something just stays way better than the rest, and I think that'll be White Pepper.
Okay, bit of White Pepper for Saturday lunch. Right, moving on to the big race, or one of the big races at Aintree on Saturday. Of course, we have the Grand National fences later, but the Many Clouds, what a wonderful horse Many Clouds was. Chase is at 2:05. Protectorat run a huge race in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, is the 13-8 favourite, goes back out of handicap company into graded company. 9-4 Native River, the old boy, rising 12 now Native River, 15-4 Imperial Aura. We'll get Ruby's thoughts on how well he thought he was going before tipping up last time out. He's been backed 6-1 Simply the Bet. Sam Brown is 12-1. Tiger Roll is 16-1. 66-1 to Two Amigos and Wishing and Hoping. Okay, Ruby. Protectorat, great run. Imperial Aura, though, the case of what if, isn't it?
It is a case of what if. And it's a case here for the two you'd probably fancy, Protectorat and Imperial Aura, of will they stay? We don't know. Protectorat was... He came home well enough behind Midnight Shadow in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, but I think Midnight Shadow was slowing down more so than Protectorat was staying on. You know, he's won here at the Aintree Festival. That was over 2.5 miles. I don't know, will he stay or not? Imperial Aura, to me, is shaped like a horse that should stay. I just hope David doesn't ride him like he wants 3.5 miles. He's not a slow horse. And I think Imperial Aura is probably the one, but I don't have a strong opinion on the race, PK, because I'm not certain either of the two I would fancy would stay, and I'd like to know before I would really stick my neck out for one of them.
Native River will stay. Yeah, it'll definitely stay. Matt Chapman, your thoughts on the Many Clouds?
Yeah, it's a tough betting race, this. Protectorat has gone an extended 2.7 miles at Kelso one day, but stumbled in the closing stages there and was eventually beaten 41 lengths in a three-runner race. So it's very hard to gauge whether the horse would have got home, and with three runners, it's not going to tell you much anyway. So there is a stamina doubt, but equally, Protectorat is a young horse. He kind of feels as though he's been around for, he's only six, Protectorat. What I liked about this race is, and I thought was, you know, if the rain comes as Ruby has suggested it might, a lot of people are just going to go Native River blindly without even thinking it through. There are a lot of front runners in this race. I mean, David Bass really has one way of riding. That's Imperial Aura out the front, second run after the wind operation. Simply the Bet can front run, although probably won't. Again, second run after the wind operation. Sam Brown is a natural front runner over fences for me. And the thing with Native River is we know that in the early stages, he's not the most fluent of jumpers. He usually takes 3, 4, maybe 5 to warm up. And if he goes slowly against those front runners in the early stages, John Joe Neal could be scrubbing along after a couple of fences, just keeping up in the early stages. That negates the fact that he's a strong stayer because he's going to be under pressure so far out. Meanwhile, Protectorat is going to be just cruising round for at least 2.5 miles. Protectorat's going to be cruising round. And my gut feeling is that his youngness and his basic class that he's progressing will be enough to get him home. But again, it's a short price to take with the queries, isn't it? 6-4 about a horse, you have no idea whether it stays. If someone said to you, would you like to back this horse? By the way, you have no idea whether it gets the trip. Your life depends on it. You'd take your life, wouldn't you? You wouldn't go for the bet. So it's a hard one. I've got to say, I have no idea why Tiger Roll isn't in the Beecher Chase. We all know he's going to be tailed off in this. What is the point? What is the point? When he could be running under top weight in the Beecher Chase, doing the thing that he loves. I just don't get the campaigning of that horse. But anyway, that's probably for another pod.
Just ruined any opportunity racing manager for Jenkinstown Stud for the next 2 years.
I slightly feel it's in the family there, Patrick. It's a bit like Paddy Power if you've not got the name.
Yeah, Eddie's okay for now. Well, speaking of the Beecher Chase, let's look ahead to it. We're going to have extra places coming out of our ears here at the time of recording, assuming everyone runs. 6 places on paddypower.com for the Beecher Chase. 6-1 the field. Mac Totty, who's been strong in the betting all week, is joint favourite with Snow Leopardess. Mighty Thunder 7-1. Then we get to the old regulars. Kimberlite Candy, second in the race last couple of years. Chris's Dream, he was going well in the Grand National when last seen, when unseating was, I think, 4 out. 2-8 per me. Signs of life that he came back last night at Navan in the Troy Town for Noel Mead. That's 12 strong 20s. And what about Vieux Leon Rouge? He's running this race about, if Paddy was on the pod, he'd say 60 million times or something like that. But he's 12-1, having won it a couple of times, and 12-1 for Achille. Okay, Ruby, the Beecher Chase and Grand National Fences, a few old boys in this race. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, there are a few old boys. I like first timers ahead of entry. Essentially, I know Tiger Roll won back-to-back nationals and some horses keep going back there, but I do like a horse having its first go. And even though Achille is 11 years of age, he's only had the 14 runs for Venetia Williams since he joined her yard in 2015 from Emmanuel Cleu. He had 722 days off after his first run in Ascot in November, and he had another long break then after running at Cheltenham in November of 19. He was off for 427 days. He had a couple of good runs last year behind Not a Chance and Lord of Menil, finished up at the Midlands National behind Time to Get Up. But I just thought Charlie Deutsch, Venetia Williams, slow ground, yard and form, Achille will do me nicely.
I think they're the Monmouth colours as well, aren't they? Venetia Williams right back to form, of course, recently. Match happen?
I'm going to pretend I'm Paddy now, because I think I know what Paddy would say in this. So, 6 places, Vieux Leon Rouge, each way. You know he's going to be in the 6. You're going to make a profit each way, all those places. Double digits price, just £5 higher than when winning last year. Stays, jumps, has had a little prep to get him fit for the race. For Leon Rouge, each way with the great 6 places. Why are we paying 6 places? I'm going to have to go and wait and have a word with the traders.
Great impression. The big man will be very happy with that one. 3:15 is the final event from Aintree, and it's a 2.5 mile handicap hurdle. At the time of recording, Tamar Bridge is the favourite. Ollie Murphy, very lightly raced, only 4 runs, 3 wins, 7-2, 5-1 for Midnight River for Dan Skelton. What a day it could be for him. Rounding a pounding poet, I should say, for Tom Lacey is 5-1. Of course, could be a big day in Aintree for him with Kimberlite King in the previous race. 8-1, Carey's Commodity, 10-1, Cateson, and 12's Bar. Right, Matt, the final race at Aintree.
Well, I don't know about Ruby, but I thought this was pretty hard. The one that many real stayers, and again, with the ground getting perhaps a bit more testing, I decided to opt for a horse dropping in trip rather than trying to see it out. And it was a horse who was doing really well last year. The big question, of course, is whether he's reached his peak. But it's Storm Nelson, who was running over 3 miles, kept on winning. Obviously, the handicap mark has gone up, but he started at a very low mark. So it's not as if now he's suddenly a stayer's hurdle horse or anything. I'm hoping he'll be good enough. Sandy Thompson and Emery Brook, if he's ready, I think his stamina could be key. So Storm Nelson each way.
Lots of ones beside his name. Ruby?
and I was going for Midnight River for Bridget Andrews and Dan Skelton. Obviously fell on his chasing debut at Carlisle, but it did fall prior to that behind Ahoy Senor at Aintree as well. Beat Galley Hill at Ascot, was fourth to Admiral at Warwick. I thought they were pretty solid runs. Mark of 138, Midnight River for me.
Lovely. Okay, this is where we say goodbye. This is where the assistant referee puts up the two numbers beside the pitch. He's got one picture of Matt Chapman. He's got one picture of Paddy Power. Matt, you're off. You're off. Get off, Paddy. You're in. Paddy, you coming on? Have you got the tactics? He's got the tactics ready. Matt, we'll see you on ITV over the course of the weekend. Paddy Power, you come in. Stay with us. Ruby and Paddy are going to go through all the Irish action next.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Very important message indeed. Okay, we look ahead to a wonderful Saturday and Sunday racing in Ireland. There's three meetings to really focus on at Navan on Saturday and a doubleheader live on RTE for those in Ireland from Cork and indeed Punchestown. Okay, Willie Mullins, he's starting ever so slowly to unleash some decent, he's got very good horses throughout the yard, but are we starting to see the winter horses? Let's ask Ruby Walsh. The first one of his seven declared horses in Navan on Saturday is a horse called What Do We Want in the Mulryan Silks. Ruby, Danny Mullins on board in the 11:30.
What do you want? Not the what do we want.
No, I said, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want?
Yeah, that's more.
What do you want?
Yeah, good form last year. Beat Gintone of Bumper Ferry House, was then third to Kill Crut at the Dublin Racing Festival when he got badly outpaced. 2.5 miles will really suit him. And he's a decent horse to start with. Prevaricate of Gordon's would look the obvious danger with a run under its belt, having finished second to U-Thread at Naas on his first start this season.
Fair enough. Any update on Paul Townend?
No update on Paul Townend. No. Okay. Interesting one I thought looking at, actually, and I'll skip it over Paul Townend, was the difference between the first and second division of these two maiden hurdles. I'd love to know how these races are divided.
Is it a lottery, ballot, draw?
You would assume so, but it looks like a good race and an average race.
So it's amazing how those things can happen. The 12:33 is the
more and more regularly as well.
Okay, right, okay. So we'll save that for the punters panel. 12:33 is an Avon Novice Fair, but it's a graded event. Gintone and Fred Rogers are the two for Gordon Elliott and Eric Bloodaxe for Joseph O'Brien. Three very interesting horses of the five that are entered. Paddy Power, let's bring you in.
As I clear my throat.
Desperate to get you. You've had half an hour to clear your
exactly. Yeah, I could have done that earlier. This is a good little race. So I haven't seen any prices yet. So I'm not exactly sure how it's going to be priced up. But I think Eric Bloodaxe is the one that kind of not jumps out to me, but it's the one I think that was visually the most impressive. It won the maiden hurdle at Naas. And Ashley Hosedup was very impressed with that day. And before that, you just look at the form and you see it was well beaten now, but the two runs before that was beaten by Kilcrut and Appreciated. So two, like, you know, it reads well as a script. You're gonna get beaten, there are two horses to get beaten by. So I think Eric Bloodaxe looks like one that's really improved with the extra year under his belt. It might be pretty decent.
Yeah, I think it'll be very close between Chinto and Eric Bloodaxe in the betting. Ruby, any thoughts on that? Or we move on to the handicap?
Yeah, it does look a match. But if you think Chinto beat Chantreuse in a bumper by 8 lengths at Navan last February, and Mr. Fred Rogers beat Chantreuse at Punchestown in the maiden hurdle last time out, Mr. Fred Rogers shouldn't be forgotten.
Fair enough. Okay, we will watch out for those two. It's a fascinating little match. The big handicap hurdle on the card is sponsored by the Bechtiv Stud. That is the green and white and red silks for Gordon, isn't it? Bechtiv Stud. I don't think they've got a runner in the race. Oh, they do. Oh, sorry, they do. I mentioned that. But first, let's get Willie Mullins' quartet. I think it's four. Burning Victory. Frank Hickey, who'll be listening to the pod, be keeping an eye on her. Maze Runner, Wear a Pink Ribbon, and Captain Kangaroo. Four for Willie Mullins, Ruby. Which one wins the race?
Burning Victory is without doubt the classiest. Hence, she carries the most weight. A great run behind Buzz in the Cesar, which she had a couple of wins in France during the summer on the flat. I thought ran reasonably well in Galway behind Saldir on the Galway hurdle. She has to jump a bit better. I think every run she has gotten a little bit better. And I think a mark of 143 could be very workable for her. We'd obviously love if she'd less weight, but hey, that she has that mark, so that's what she's carrying. Maze Runner won at the Dublin Racing Festival when he beat Unexpected Depth in the 3-mile handicap hurdle there. Had a decent run behind Yaxini in the November handicap at Nace, so he's in good old form. What else has Willie run further down in the way?
Pink Ribbon
and Captain Kangaroo. Captain Kangaroo's been running away all summer. He's fit as a flea, but needs to jump better, and Wear a Pink Ribbon would need a career best. Probably pushed me towards Burning Victory.
Okay. I'm blindly backing Volcano in that race, number 14, owned by the Vector Stud. Jeez, I can't say anything without Ruby correcting me today.
It's just a humor I'm in today. Volcano.
It's going to be a long pod for me. Okay, Volcano, whatever. Number 14, it's owned by the sponsors. There we go. The 143 is the second graded novice event on the card. It's the Clairon Davis novice chase. I remember him. Is Arthur Moore trained Clairon Davis, was it?
Was indeed.
Yes, I got something right.
Danny Woods used to ride him.
He was class, wasn't he? He was great. It's a really interesting little lineup, this one. I'll run through top to bottom. You've got Embittered for Joseph O'Brien, Dancing on My Own for Henry de Bromhead in the Mulryan Silks. The Real Deal is back, folks, and makes his chase debut in a Grade 3 novice chase. Ronan McNally does things differently, doesn't he? Take All and Hurricane Georgie and Jackson's Goal make up the field, except for Riviere d'Etel, the four-year-old filly who gets all the allowances. Now, before we go into this race, she is declared for a mare's novice at Cork on Sunday. I don't know if it's a case of which one she's going for, but just to let you know, she's also declared for that. Okay, Ruby, your thoughts on the Clairon Davis?
I think, PK, she has to run tomorrow. She can't. I don't know of a way whereby she cannot run Saturday and run Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Only transport. And how is she not going to be transported to the races, but the rest of Gordon Elliott's are? So I think she has to run tomorrow, and maybe it's only declared for fear she tipped up at the first or something.
Okay, right. Perfect.
Thereby, you would have her in again on Sunday. But to the best of my knowledge, I don't see a way around not running tomorrow in favour of Sunday for her. So I thought she was very good in Punchestown, forward going filly, jumps and stays. And I think even with the allowance, the filly's allowance and the four-year-old allowance, even though she's a penalty of Punchestown, I think she'd be hard to beat.
Paddy Power?
Yeah, 100% agree. She's flawless twice over fences. Like, Embittered seems to be pretty well held, and Dancing on My Own wasn't half as impressive winning last time as Riviere d'Etel. So I think, yeah, not straightforward, but should win.
Ruby!
Well, I corrected myself. He didn't need to correct me.
No, I didn't get a chance to correct myself before he's jumping in.
You made a mistake. You see, there's no problem with making mistakes. It's just realizing you make mistakes and learn from them.
Exactly. And correct yourself. Be big enough to correct yourself.
All right. In the next race, I want to talk about the 218 is a beginner's chase where there's full of its. There's loads of its running in this race. Blue Sari for JP McManus, William Mullins, and Mark Walsh. Ruby, we can spell out words with this horse's form figures. And Willie also has Kescon Risk making debut for the yard. So this give us the latest on both of those.
What word would you spell there?
Puff, puff, puff. Pulled up,
PP.
Puff, puff, puff. He's puffing. He's smoking or something. I don't know what it is, but puff, 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 puff. Pulled up and falling. That's all he does.
Blue Sari. Yes, good. Well, works well. Look, he's 140 rated hurdler at his best, but that's, you know, will he run to that? Who knows? Ashtail Bob unseated at Gorham behind Bob Olinger. So, yeah, that's looked pretty strong form. I thought Farouk Delane was good last year when he beat Vanillier at Limerick, but I thought he was disappointing here over 2.5 miles behind Fakira before that. It makes me think he wants every yard of this trip and probably a bit further. Kescon Risk has his first run for Willie. He was formerly trained by Joseph O'Brien, was third to Appreciate It at Leopardstown last Christmas, was then disappointing at Cheltenham and was no match for El Barra at Punchestown. But he was a horse that Frank Hickey kept talking about last year, I think, wasn't he, Kescon Risk?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But he seems to be in good form and hopefully run a good race, but definitely Ashdale Bob seems to set the standard with that run under his belt, albeit that he unseated.
Okay, lovely. That's a little scan through an excellent card on Saturday. We move to Sunday. We've got a doubleheader live on RT television for those of you here in Ireland. Of course, the whole thing is live on Racing TV if you're in the UK. Punchestown stage to John Durkin and Cork stage to Hilly Way. Let's start at Punchestown, lads, and let's start with the races that are live on RT. The 125 is the mayor's listed novice hurdle on the card. We've got a field of 10, and there's Gordon Elliott and those Spective Silks again with Party Central. Choice of Words is a very interesting runner as well. And nothing interestingly for Willie Mullins in a race that normally, when you look at Mayor's novice hurdles, you think Willie Mullins will have at least six in here, really?
He ran her last week. The only one he'd have, that was okay. Statuaire and Purple Mountain ran in a handicap, didn't she? They'd have been the two.
Okay.
So Statuaire's a grade one winner, and Purple Mountain ran in a handicap, would have been better off in this race, I would have thought. But Party Central, disappointed at Down Royal behind Impervious, but has some pretty solid bumper form, notably chasing home Grand G at the Dublin Racing Festival last year, and a reproduction of that run would do. But one soft ground in Party Central, to, in my opinion. So any rain that falls between now and Sunday will definitely suit Party Central.
Paddy Power?
I've actually gone for choice of words here for Martin Brassel, Dara O'Keefe. Just was thought it was very easy on the eye at Galway. And I didn't think there's much between the two Elliott runners, Humble Glory and Party Central. So I was kind of skipping over them for that reason and thinking choice of words. Yeah, you have to, a bit of potential built in there. And if that run at Galway is to be believed, that's be a bit better, a bit of a step up on that, but improving, going the right way, all those cliches.
Lots of them. You're great. It's great to have you. It's great to have you on. The 2 o'clock is the big one at Punchestown on Sunday, St. John Durkin Memorial. A grade one over 2.5 miles. I'm going to run through them very quickly. Willie Mullins has got more than half the field. How many do you have, Ruby? Seven of the 10 runners. Alaho, Patrick will ride him. Brian Cooper's on Asterion for Lange. Rachel Blackmore, of course, rides Envoy Allen for Henry de Bromhead. You've got Joseph Bryan's Fakir du Dury. Frank got a port. Jana Dill, Kemboy, Mellon, Manila Times, the Grand National winner, and Tornado Flyer make up a really good John Durkin, Ruby. Does Willie have all these horses because the ground's been too quick at the likes of the Clonmel Oil and stuff like that? Is that it?
Definitely. Even if you look even to last year, PK, Kemboy ran at Thurles last week, where Willie was hoping maybe to run Album Photo and maybe Tornado Flyer. Clonmel Oil, you would have had one or two of these in there as well. So yeah. Look, it's come to a pinch point in the season and you end up at seven in the John Durkin. But look, that's what was Clonmel and Thurles' loss is definitely Punchestown's gain. Alaho is the highest rating and he was spectacular last year at Cheltenham in the Ryanair Chase. But the concern for me is Alaho's record first time out for Willie. He was beaten on his first start for Willie and in a bumper at Leopardstown behind Exit Pole. He was beaten in a beginner's chase in 2019 behind Easy Game. He was beaten here behind Mean in 2020 on his first start. Alaho does look like a horse that seems to take a run. Now, we said the same for a Plutar before he went to Haydock and actually absolutely romped in. But that would be a concern for me. Envoy Allen obviously has a run under his belt, but so does the second highest rated horse in the race, and that's Fakir du Dury. I thought he was very good in the Clonmel Oil. 2.5 miles really suits him. And for a winner of this race, mightn't be the horse you'd want to follow for the year, but I think it points towards Fakir du Dury.
There you go. Paddy Power is scribbling furiously Fakir du Dury because we've had this conversation, Paddy, before.
Funny,
seven Willie Mullins runners, and he tips up a Joseph Ryan horse. Unbelievable. It's brilliant.
I can't get beyond just Envoy Allen. I think it's pretty obvious, obviously. Envoy Allen just thankfully came back first time out after disastrous end last year, came back first time out and was brilliant, and so has that run under the belt. And I just think Envoy Allen is just particularly special and just better than these.
Well, we will see. It's a cracking renewal, so Envoy Allen and Fakir du Dury, watch out for.
It's a big test for Envoy Allen. Fakir obviously has a run under his belt. He has 11 pounds to find with Alaho. He, as a chaser, hasn't stepped into this sort of, in his life, hasn't stepped into this competition before. He's had runs and bumpers, novice hurdles, novice chases. He ran the second season novice chase in the north where he beat Echoes of Family. He's never dipped his toe into open company, and he does on Sunday. It's a big day for Envoy Allen.
It'd be some horse if he can beat these now, wouldn't he? He'd be, like, we'd be...
Look, he's talked about as the second coming of Arkell. We'll find out on Sunday.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to it. It's a brilliant renewal of the John Durkin. Thanks to the Quick Ground, every other track, we've got a belter. Settle in Sunday, live on RT and Racing TV. There's a few other races live on RT. There's a really good beginner's chase, or at least we'll be keeping an eye out for another horse in those Sheepley Park. So it's Fernie Hollow in this race, Ruby. Patrick gets the plum ride. Obviously, very talented bumper horse, very talented novice herder, albeit very lightly raced. Chasing always going to be the game?
Yeah, Willie was in no doubt where he was going with him. Obviously, the Devils coachman and Coeur Sublime do represent some standard of opposition for him. But look, he's only one run over hurdles when he beat Bob Olinger. His last run in the bumper, he beat Appreciated. They're two fair scalps to have taken. There's no doubt about Fernie Hollow's talent. And he seems to be in really good form at home.
Paddy Power is going to do the Sheevely Park double, isn't he? Envoy Allen and Fernie Hollow?
100%. I mean, that's exactly what Ruby said. Is what I've written down here. When you look back at his, you know, the his playlist, it's like, you know, beating Bob Olinger and beating Appreciated, and it's just that's enough said. Do you know
there's
what I mean?
A quote, there's a quote for me for television on Sunday. Looking for me Hollow's playlist. Straight few words of Paddy Power.
We'll watch out for that, and I'm sure Paddy will charge you as well. Yeah, can't wait to see Fernie Hollow over the larger obstacles. There is a €14,000 handicap hurdle live on RT on Sunday. Fair play to you, lads. You're showing us all of the stuff. I'm not going to run through these horses because there's lots of them. And the four, well, actually, there's one horse, Ruby, in this race that you tipped up to win, I think, last night, Glen Quinn Castle. He's got a string of ones next to his name, and he sneaks in the bottom of the handicap.
That's in Cork, is it?
Oh, no.
No, the 305 Punchestown.
Punchestown.
That's not on RT. No, that's as far as I know.
My apologies, says RT on the Race Plus website.
I thought we were showing six races from Punchestown and Cork. So it was the 1:25 to 2:35. I think we're gone off there at 3:00. Maybe we're not. Maybe that has all changed and we're showing the 3:05.
Overtime, Ruby. Charge them overtime.
If we're showing eight races, all the better. And it's a first for RTE to pack in a bit like ITV do, but the two meetings, cram it in. It'll be entertainment, or hopefully entertainment from start to finish. Really good races. But I thought there was three from Cork and three from Punchestown.
Fair enough.
I know the Racing Post is showing up 4 and 4, but look, maybe it's changed.
I'll ask Racing Post to sort their stuff out. Okay, let's have a look at the races from Cork that are live on RT Television. The Grade 3 is the Super Value Stayers Novice Hurdle at 10 past 1, 3 miles the trip. You've got Churchstone Warrior on a hat trick. You've also got Perfect Attitude in good form. Ida's Boy for Noel Mead as well. Chinks of Light for John McConnell. Ruby, your thoughts on the Grade 3 Novice?
Yeah, look, I thought going to Thurles, on the 18th of November that Ida's Boy would be Churchstone Warrior, but it didn't happen. There was only a half a length between them on that occasion. They were obviously off level weights on that day. Churchstone Warrior now has to give Ida's Boy £3. Will that be enough for a half a length? I don't know, but it'll make it a really competitive race. Chinks of Light be Favori de Champdu at Galway. Good performance. Was in a race, I had a strong opinion on WPK.
That's fine. Paddy Power, did you have a strong opinion?
Not strong. I think Churchstone Warrior will confirm form at Ida's Boy despite the pull in the weight. So I think I'm just going for him. Just been in really good form winning both starts. I think when they get in the roll sometimes, especially the stayers, that they just keep going, keep rolling, keep winning.
Fair enough. Now, the Mayor's Novice Chase at 1:45 would have a very different look to it under the assumption that Riviera Detail doesn't run because she's declared on Saturday. So, as Ruby just said, she's very unlikely to run unless something happened on Saturday. So let's talk about the races if she isn't running. I think it's probably fair. Concertista for Willie Mullins, Dulcita also, and Rabinia. Now, Concertista, Ruby, there was talk of champion hurdle, wasn't there, at various stages last year? So she's had 2 years over hurdles. Is it a case of let's give chasing a go, or was it always a case of let's do 2 years hurdles, then go chasing?
I don't know, PK. I don't know who was talking about her as a champion hurdle filly either.
Quite a few people.
Were they?
Yeah.
Judges, they were. 148, she was rated. And look, she came up short at Cheltenham. She got beaten ahead by Black Tears in the Mayor's Hurdle, and chasing looked the obvious road to go with her. I think it's a really good race, though. Concertista, Dulcita, who's back with Willie Mullins, having spent the season with Paul Nicholls. And you have obviously have Magic Days, who was really good here in her last start in Cork, where she beat Darren's Hope. Now, Magic Days and Razzle Dazzle Love both like to stride along, so there's going to be nowhere to hide here. And then if you had chucked in Riviera to tell, then we'd have had some contest. But Magic Days was good here, beating Darren's Hope. But Concertista, you know, Concertista, 135 was the highest rating Magic Days has had at a hurdler. Concertista was up to 153. So I wouldn't be surprised if Concertista served it up to Magic Days.
Oh, Paddy?
Yeah, funny. I kept it a bit more straightforward than that. I went with Magic Days because of just the visual nature, I guess, of the 25 length win the last time over the track at the same track. So I just thought that might be compelling. I thought Concertista obviously is maybe dropping down a bit in the rain, but seemed to have, I wouldn't say flattered to deceive, but hasn't kept improving the way some kind of expected her to. And I think because she was, is she the one that got beat ahead first time out in the Mayor's Hurdle at Cheltenham or the Mayor's Novice? Is that Concertista?
She did, yep.
For, yeah, for nearly winning at Cheltenham.
Team to say.
Exactly, yeah. But like first time out over hurdles and getting beaten ahead at 50-1, tipped up by David Casey, I believe, at Cheltenham, at each way at 51. But anyway, that was a couple of years ago now. But I just thought that she might have, not regressed, but hasn't really kicked on. And Magic Days looks to be on the up. So yeah, like long-winded answer, Magic Days is the short version.
You did say you're going to keep it simple.
Yeah.
The big one at Cork is the Hilly Way. It's a 220. It's a grade two over 2 miles and a few yards. Realistically, it's all about Enniger Mean here. Paddy, is there any reason to oppose Enniger Mean?
No, I nearly didn't even bother looking at anything else in the race. I mean, Enniger Mean is just, you just wanted to be Enniger Mean to come back and just be as good as Enniger Mean was before the missing Cheltenham last year. And just because that was the mouth-watering clash we were looking for, the Shishkin clash. And Shishkin was so good. Who knows? It'd be great to think that Enniger Mean would have gone close if not winning. So that being the case, yeah, should lap them.
Yeah. Ruby, Notebook obviously looked back to his best last time out. And at the weights, I think he's only a couple of pounds behind Enniger Mean. But, I mean, surely the expectation and the hope is that he wins this.
Yeah, there's 5 pounds between them on official ratings. But a bit like NYLN in Punchestown PK, Enniger Mean is stepping out into open company as well against a lower grade of horse, all right, Notebook, Cashback. They're decent horses without being of the standard of the ones that are in Punchestown. But Size and Potsy, he likes to go along fairly close to the pace as well, as does Enniger Mean and Cashback. So, and so will Notebook. So they won't be dawdling around Cork in the Hilly Way. I actually had the pleasure of riding Enniger Mean on Tuesday morning. He's in really good form. And jumping is his biggest attribute. So touch wood, that stands to him on Sunday afternoon in Cork.
When you ride him out with a good horse like that, Ruby, do you know, like if you weren't told it was Enniger Mean, would you get on? Would you know it's a proper horse, even just galloping it?
Yeah, we were working PK, and they just get up to a higher speed than the lesser ones.
You're going to pull him up on that?
I don't need to pull him up. I knew he'd pull himself up, so it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, well, he didn't actually. So Enniger Mean, that was the first time you sat on Ruby, was it?
I think it was, yeah. It was actually. I had only a run last year at all.
But
balancing up weights, so I ended up in Enniger Mean.
If Enniger Mean, I know you love hypotheticals. But if Enniger Mean was running in the Tingle Creek on Saturday, would you fancy his chances?
I'd probably ride Shaq and push him all over.
Would you?
Oh, geez. Well, I mean, Enniger Mean's 169, Shaqin's 176. One has a lot more experience over the other. One has potential, but I'd probably ride Shaq and push him all, at the moment anyway.
Play the percentages as always. Right, unless there's any other horse you want to flag up on Sunday, it's time for the weekend maps. Anything there in the lurking? Nope.
Like, I think you should mention maybe the two maiden hurdles of Cork PK.
Go first.
You have Dysart Dynamo in one and Kilcrut in the other. You know, there won't be betting propositions, but I'd imagine we will be thinking both should be collecting.
Thank you for bringing that to attention. I hadn't looked at the maiden hurdles. I was just looking at the RT stuff, which apparently may or may not be an 8-race card on Sunday. Right. We need weekend naps. We've already heard from Matt Chapman. He's given a 12-1 nap earlier on for Gary Moore in the handicap hurdle at Sandown. Paddy Power, where's your weekend nap?
Yeah, even though I wasn't on for the Saturday part of the show, is it okay if my nap is on Saturday?
Yes,
of
course.
Of course it is. Good. I have to find it now. It's at Aintree and it's in the last race and it's the Ollie Murphy horse. It is called
Tamar Bridge.
The favourite, yeah. Tamar Bridge, yeah, yeah. Whatever. So 7-2.
Tamar. It's in Tamar Bridge. I think it's in Tasmania.
Okay, Tamar Bridge. And purely, not purely, but one of the main reasons, it's unexposed, it looks an improver, but obviously the trainer is in unbelievably good form still.
You've been in Tasmania, Paddy.
Yeah, Paddy, come on. You went to Tasmania?
I've never been to Tasmania. No, I've been to Australia. Yeah.
I drank at the Tamar Bridge Vineyard. That's how I know. That's how I know. Well, at 11 in the morning.
In Tasmania.
As you do. Well, sure. She's from Australia. It's only a short hop from Melbourne down. There's only half an hour in a little putt-putt plane and Yeah, why not? We'll go for a glass of wine.
He's on a small plane as well.
It's only a short hop. Yeah, yeah. It was one of those, you can bring, like, you could bring your drinks onto the plane. I was like, oh my God, there was no security. You just walk on. It was great. Yeah. And then, yeah, it was a bit windy, but sure, it was grand. Tamar Bridge, lovely vineyard. Next time you're in Tasmania, check it out.
We'll look it up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure we're there in no time at all.
That's Paddy's nap, is Tamar Bridge. Ruby, your nap of the weekend.
And if I could nap on the willies, but they're all going to be, or the ones that you would have fancied to win will all be plenty short. So I'm going to cross the pond and I'm going to go for Salty Boy at Sandown in the London National.
Very nice. That's a big price too. Was he 11 to 11 to 2 or something along those lines?
11 to 2, yeah.
Yeah, okay, lovely. And the naps have been going well. Gentlemen, that is a brilliant look ahead to a wonderful weekend. Before we go, just a reminder, please do email fthm at Paddy Power if you, yes, you, our loyal listener, want to be on this show. If you want to grill Ruby Walsh and then get told by Ruby Walsh that you pronounced that wrong, the horse never ran in that race, and you know nothing. I mean, it's great fun, guys. So come on, please do.
It's therapeutic.
it's a rite of passage anyway. No, but seriously, he's generally nice to you guys. So I wouldn't worry too much about it, even if he's in one of his moods. But if you do want to be on the podcast, do email fthm@paddypower.com and we'll put you on a list. And you don't have to put the question in now, but if you do have a question now, fire it in and we can have it on file. And we're going to do that soon. We will be doing that very soon because we go from the first one. Ruby, enjoy the weekend. We'll see you in RT on Sunday.
Cheers, PK.
Paddy, we'll see you when we see you.
See you, lads. Be good.
All right. Take care.